song because it's, well, like it has a lot of layers of meaning, I guess, but it's kind of just really honest about how we love and how we treat the love of God, and how, like, when we start our life and when we don't know God, it is like we've got this incredible Father that says, "Here's the keys to my kingdom. Like I have these mansions and all this sort of stuff." But we throw that away by the way we live our lives, and I really like that, and I wanted Luke to play it tonight because it kind of fits with what I want to share about, and it was really cool. And Luke's a really good singer, and so it's a win for everybody, really. Awesome. All right, the last few weeks we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and His power in your life, and I reckon it's been really good, yeah? And so tonight I kind of want to share something that God's really been speaking to me about this week, and so it's kind of, this is in almost like in a practical way, like the Holy Spirit working in my life, and me sharing that with you, and so it's kind of like an extended journal entry. So who does their journals? Like this, you spend time with God, you read the Word, you write down the stuff that He's saying to you. And that's kind of what I want to share about, like, tonight, just stuff that God is speaking to me during the week. And I had, like, different things thought of, and I was trying to work out what to speak about, and I had done, like, the reading plan for that day. I can't remember which day it was this week. And then I just wanted to read something else. And usually I don't flick and pick. Does anybody flick and pick? Do you know what I mean? Where you just kind of open the Bible at a random page and point your finger and read that passage. Sometimes. I usually don't advocate that method of Bible study. But I did it the other day and it worked. So that's cool. So I encourage you to do your reading plan first, and then if you want to read something else, then go for it. But so anyway, I was just kind of looking for stuff in the Bible and just reading and just worshiping, and so I came across this passage and was just really blown away just again, and just read it with just, I suppose, fresh eyes, and there's something that I'd read heaps of times before, but anyway, so I'm gonna share that with you, okay? So it's John 15. In verse 9 to 17, it says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete in you. And that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because servants do not know their master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. But you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." I kind of just read that, and it just really hit me in my spirit, and God was just speaking to me, and it's just such an incredible passage, I think. And so if you want to write a title for the message tonight, it would be "Remain in My Love." And God was really just speaking to me about this, and so I guess I want to just kind of look at this passage a little bit tonight, talk about what it meant to me and what it can mean to you, and really share some of that, if that's good. Awesome. So first up, like in verse 9, it says, "Now remain in my love." So I did this thing that sometimes I do when I want to try and like unpack something or understand something. I wrote down "remain in my love," and then I wrote down all the words I could think of to do with those words. Does that make sense? So I'm going to give you a few. So remain, stay, endure, don't leave or abandon, in, surrounded by, embraced, covered, drenched, my, this is Jesus, the Creator, the Savior, the great I am, the Almighty. And then love, like his heart, passion, compassion, grace, love. Like I had more than that, but that's just like an example. And I really find that's helpful for me sometimes because you can skip something in the Bible, you can miss something, and but there can be this little thing that could mean so much. And so I like to just sit here and go, well, what does he mean? Like when Jesus says to me, like he's speaking to his disciples, but he's speaking to us, and he says, remain in my love. Like, what does that mean? So I've got my personal amplified version of this, that little sentence. It says, don't leave, forsake, or give up on the total embrace, covering, and drenching of being inside the love, grace, forgiveness, and whole heart of Jesus Christ, your Lord, Savior, Creator, and Friend. Remain in my love. So it's saying, don't give up. Don't stop being soaked in the love of God, in the love of Jesus Christ. Don't leave that behind. And that's such an incredible statement, yeah? That if we can do that, it goes on and says that we'll have this incredible life where we would have Christ's joy in us and our joy would be made complete, where we would be called a friend of God and we would be chosen and anointed, where we would, yeah, have that complete joy, and that everything we ask in His name would be given to us. That sounds pretty cool, yeah? Sounds great to me. So He says, how do you do that? He says, it's simple. Just follow my command. He says, follow His command, like God's command, Jesus' command, and His plan and His purpose. And that's what it is. So what does He say that is? He says, it's to love each other. So I'm like so far going, great, this is fantastic. I just need to love each other and I'll have all that amazing stuff. Then He says, love each other so much that you'll give up your life just like I did for you. And that's, I think, when it starts to get challenging and when it starts to kind of get real, because it's like, wow, well, Jesus literally died for me. And in doing that, He showed His love. And then He says, so love the way I love. And it's like, well, that's hard. That's more. But if I want to remain soaked and drenched and covered in the love and the grace of Jesus, then that's what He says I need to do. Is everybody with me? Good, good, good. And I think that sounds a little bit harder, yeah? When remaining in Christ's love requires me to give up my life, how does that makes sense? How does that bring me complete joy? Like, that kind of sounds like the opposite of joy would be giving up my life. Like when it says there in verse 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And then it says, you're my friends if you do what I command. Like, that's a challenging call. But I think sometimes, like, we think about joy and we kind of confuse it with like happiness or something like that. And we kind of think that when it talks about joy being complete, it's about being in a good mood or having everything in my life going right. But that's not what it's about at all. Like, joy is this way of living where you know that you are right in the purpose and the will of God. When you're doing that and you can see the fruit, it says the fruit that will last, that will bring. And I hope you get that. Like, because joy, it isn't about like the circumstance and the stuff that's going on in your life. But it says that Christ's joy would be in us. And I thought about this. Because Jesus is talking to His disciples in John 15. If you read it, it's just before He's going to be arrested. And He's sitting down and He's telling them how He's going to die. And He's talking to them about how He's going to be taken away, how He's going to suffer, how He's going to be crucified, put on the cross. And so I was reading that and thinking, Christ's joy, like Jesus' joy, was made complete when He died on the cross. And like, that doesn't sound like fun. That wouldn't make me happy. Like, do you see where that goes? But His ultimate act of love was to give His life for us. And in that, His joy was made complete because He was doing what He was called to do. And the fruit He could see was our salvation and relationship with us and the separation between us and God being removed in our lives. It being possible for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to walk daily with God and to not suffer death for eternity, but to spend eternity with Him in heaven, yeah? And so that joy was made complete when He died. And so it's his joy because he loves us that much. And so I kind of got into this, like this passage is almost a little bit circular in the way it talks, because like he's like, if you love, then you'll give your life. And then when you've done that, then you'll have true love and true joy. And do you see what it's saying? And yeah, you get it? Were you with me? Awesome. I encourage you, just as an aside, to when you're reading the Bible, not just kind of look for maybe the first thing or that thing that's right on the top layer. Like, there is that stuff and it is great. But for me, the more I sat down and I thought on this and I meditated on it and I wrote like things off it and I wrote it out again in my own words and I did that sort of stuff, like that word starts to come alive more and more and God starts to speak into you. And then I know that I'm not just kind of making stuff up, like it's God's word and he's really speaking that into me. And I really just as a side note on that, like when you're reading your word, like it's great to do the reading plans and to do the whole Bible and everything like that, but just really don't just kind of go, oh, this is the thing that I've got to do today, but say, God, I want you to speak to me. And even if it's one line, like for me, the biggest thing that I've got out of this passage was just remain in my love. And it's like, and that kind of summed it all up for me. And when I thought about that more and more, like God started to speak to me about that. So I just encourage you to do that. Because, like, as tough as this sort of joy that Jesus is talking about, giving up his life for us sounds, like that's the sort of joy that I want in my life. And that's the sort of joy it says that we can expect if we remain in his love. If I keep doing the commands that Jesus has set me, and I love people that much that I would give my life for them, then like I can remain in his love and my joy will be made complete. And I think that's such a different way of thinking to how we often think in the world. Like, it's not talking about an easy life where nothing goes wrong. It's not talking about like being in God's love and being soaked in God's love doesn't mean that nothing's going to happen to me and I'm just going to cruise through life like I'm sitting here with a broken collarbone. And that's just like a tiny stupid example. So it's not about that, but for me it's about this chosen, loved, friend of God life that's like, if I remain in his love, then I can be called a friend of Jesus Christ. I can be a friend of God, the creator of the universe. And he doesn't call me a slave or a servant. He doesn't just hide things from me, but he is my friend. And that trumps easy life every time. So like, to have that life, Jesus' command is so simple, that we would love each other. And it says that the ultimate expression of that is to give up your life. Now, for Jesus, when he was talking about this, he knew that he was literally going to give his life for us and for the guys that he was talking to. He knew that in a matter of hours or days or whatever, he was literally going to be on a cross for that. But for us, it might not be literal, and it probably won't be. And we just thank God that we live in a country where chances are we're going to make it through our whole life without having to literally give it up for somebody that we care about. But God was sort of speaking to me in that and saying, well, no, it's not just that literal thing, but it's about being willing to give up my life because I love others and I love God. So give up like my ideas and my opinions and my own ambitions and my hope and my selfish desires and my agendas and my goals, and even give up stuff that's good because I love others and because I love God and I want to remain in his love. Are you with me? And so maybe that's for you. Like, it's a job or it's a relationship or it's a habit that you think defines you, or it's something that you hang your life on. And Jesus says, if you would give that up, like, then you would remain in my love. And I think that's the struggle. That's the thing that will really reveal your heart and what you really desire and what you really want. And and you might not get like what the world thinks is success or what you think you want or something like that, but you'll be living in the love of God with his joy in you, your joy made complete in Christ Jesus. Like that is well spent life, I think. And I, like, I may not get what people think is going to make you happy in life, like you might, and that's fantastic, and God wants to bless everyone, of course, but that might not happen. But even if it doesn't, it doesn't matter, because I'll have a friend in Jesus Christ. Like, if I remain in his love, if I keep myself, if I don't give up, if I persevere with being soaked in Jesus' love for me, then that stuff doesn't matter. Like that stuff that will fade away, that fruit that will go off or just start to die, the treasure that will rust, like, it doesn't matter, because I've got this fruit that will last in my life. Amen. And I won't be in the dark anymore, but I'll know the will of God for my life. I'll be chosen. I'll be his friend. I just was really struck by so much from this passage that I would bear fruit that will last for eternity, not just worldly treasure. I had this thought that the significance of the life I give up will always be greater than the one I try to hold on to. So every single time, like, how significant my life would be if I tried to hold on to it for myself and follow my own agenda and my own kind of goal or plan, that will never be as significant as the life that I give to God. And that might not always make sense to everybody, but it's true. And it'll be fruit that's eternal, that will never fade away. I don't know about you, but for me, when I die and when I'm in heaven, it's not going to matter how much money I earned or how successful I was in this world. Like, it's even good stuff's not going to matter. Like, that might sound hard, but, like, even your family is not going to matter when you're in heaven in the end. Like, how well you did in your life, what people would judge your life by, is not going to matter. But the people that I love that are in heaven with me, that's eternal fruit. The friends and the family that know God because I gave my life to him, that's eternal fruit. The young people that love God and are in heaven because I had the kind of the courage, I guess, to give up this life, is fruit that will last. And that's what Jesus is talking about. And that's why Jesus can go to the cross and his joy is made complete when he dies. And when we get that, like, in our earthly mindset, it makes absolutely no sense. But when we start to see that in the light of eternity, it makes perfect sense. And like, anything that happens and anything that we suffer for loving God and for staying in his love is worth it because of that eternal fruit. But just, I guess, on that as well, like, it's not, I'm not saying you're going to have a horrible life to have that sort of thing. Like, God, like, I really believe that when I give my life up to God, I'll have more significance in this life and in eternity because of that. And sometimes I think about that, and I think about incredible, like, people who don't know God, who did incredibly significant things on earth. And you go, well, surely, like, because they lived, something really significant happened. Maybe they landed on the moon or whatever. Maybe they cured a huge disease or something like that. But then I think, well, then God sort of says, well, imagine what had happened if they'd given that up to me. And that kind of blows me away. If I can think of all of the natural potential that I might have or that you might have or that somebody might have to do something that is legitimately incredible with their life, in terms of what the world thinks. And then I think, well, what if I give that to God? What if they give that to God? And what more could happen? Like, you just don't know. And that disappoints me in a way. And I'm sad sometimes. You think about, I don't know, somebody who's just incredibly talented, doing incredible things, but think, well, what more could there have been for them? Like, we're watching, like, the Winter Olympics, And these guys are just insane. And like we're watching like Shaun White, the American snowboarder, and he just dominated everything and has everything that you would think is success in the world. But in the end, like, what does that mean to him? And if what if God's saying, well, wait, I had this incredible call for you. If you would give up your life for me. And I don't know where he's up to with God. I'm not even going to guess. But do you understand what I mean? Like, and so that joy is not about being successful or whatever, but it's about like being in the will of God and seeing that eternal fruit. And that's when Jesus says, like down in verse 16, and then whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And I think sometimes we read that verse and we're just like, God, I want $1 million. And that's probably not going to happen. And we sort of, it comes out of that selfish heart. But Jesus isn't saying, go after your own agenda, have your own selfishness, and then ask me whatever you want and I'll do it, like he's a genie. That's not what he's saying, but he's saying, when you are in my love, and so that means that you're giving up your life for others, then whatever you ask will be given to you. So it's not a selfish request, but it's a request to a friend, a close friend, as somebody soaked in his love. And that is a huge difference for me, because then if I say, God, I need $1 million, it's not because I want to be rich, it's because I want to see his kingdom grow, and because I know that he has said to me, ask me for this. He's put a vision in my heart that requires $1 million. And then if I ask for that, it's going to happen. Do you get what I mean? Like, when we can get beyond that point where it's our selfish ambition to ask things of God, and it's his heart in us, it's Christ's joy in us that's asking those questions, then we see God move in incredible ways. And that's why we see so many people living for God, just doing amazing things that are just beyond their natural ability, because they've given their life to God and he is moving in it. I just think that we've been given this incredible opportunity to live inside the love of God, like right in it. That's an amazing thing. It's like God says, all you've got to do is obey my command, which is to love each other, and you can live inside my love. And I don't want to miss out on that. And so for me, it's a bit of a no-brainer. Like, no matter what the circumstance or what the obstacle or how hard that is in the natural to do, like it's the option is, well, I live in the love of God, or I live outside of the love of God. I don't want to do the second one. And so then the command is to love each other so much that we would give up our lives. I think that's amazing. And I guess I just wanted to share that stuff with you tonight, just out of what God spoke to me, just from a little passage in the Bible that I'd read heaps of times. And he just revealed something new to me. So, like, dwell on that. Think about the stuff that I've said tonight. But I really encourage you to take your time with God and just read what he speaks to you and let him speak into your heart and not just take it as an academic thing to read the Bible or like a task that you have to finish or something like that. But just let God soak into your heart. And I know that I don't do that all the time. I know that the stuff that I've said tonight is not like, I'm not perfect at that. I'm not ever trying to claim that. It's God speaking into my heart about what he needs me to do and what he wants me to do and what he wants of all of us. So I just encourage you to do that, I guess, and do that. And yeah, that was what I got out of John 15, verse 9 to 17. I'm just going to pray. God, thank you so much for your love for us. That Christ did die because of how much he loved us. That he did that so that we wouldn't have to pay the price of sin and live for eternity separated from you. But God, we could live a life inside your love, God, that we could live drenched and soaked and surrounded by your incredible love for us. God, I pray that we would be people that don't give up on that, that don't move away from that, God, that don't separate ourselves from your love, but people that remain in it. And Lord, that you would just stir our hearts, God, that we would read your word with new passion, and you would really speak to us, and that we would be open for you speaking into our lives. Just while we finish up and everybody's got their heads bowed and their eyes closed, I just want to give you an opportunity to respond to God. The truth is that Jesus Christ died for us because of how much he loved us. And because of that, we can have relationship with God, and we can have forgiveness of sins, and we can have this incredible life of love. And so if you want to respond to what Jesus did, if you want to start that relationship with him, or you want to just kind of give God this indication that you're opening your heart to that, then I just want to pray with you. So maybe if you'd raise your hand while nobody's looking around, and I'll just pray. Thank you, God, for every heart here, every life, God, for the purpose that you have for us. And I just pray that we would be people that don't hold on to our own stuff, but would be willing to give up our lives for others and for you, Lord. And God, we thank you that you call us your friend. Pray that you would help us just to live in that knowledge and in that power every day in our lives, and God, that as this week we go and we go back to work or school or uni or wherever we're going, Lord, that you would just be in our hearts and be real in our lives, and God, that we would show that to the people around us, that they would see that there's something in us of you. Amen.